News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning. Sean in for Dalton again today. It's 7 minutes after 8 o'clock at FM Talk 106.5. That streak may end tomorrow. Dalton may be with us in the morning. That'd be great. Right now, Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com. Also, the Washington Examiner is on the line to chat with us on our normal Tuesday conversation. Quinn, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, and remind folks, too, if they've yet to pick up your trilogy, tell them about it and where they can get it.
It's called, well, the books are all called Mad Jones something or other. That's the main character is Madison Lee Jones. Mad Jones Heretic is the first one. You can find it on Amazon. It's satire and modern media, politics, and religion. It's should be a fun story, and then there's lots of sort of underlying thoughts about the way that our culture works these days.
I know you've got some thoughts, too, in what's going on these days. And I know, first of all, the passing of Paul Wesch, very sad for a lot of people personally and for the city of Mobile as well.
Horrible on both counts. Mayor Stimson said that Paul Wesch is irreplaceable, and he does come as close to being irreplaceable as for the city of Mobile as anybody I can imagine. I worked with him, dealt with him a lot when I was on the commission that tried to reform our city's tax system. And Paul was just a fountain of knowledge and of goodwill. He knew the budget backwards and forwards. He knew the numbers. He worked well with people. He knew how to manage people. He knew how to befriend people, and it's a tremendous loss, and obviously a loss to his family, because he was just a good man, and he was an excellent public servant, and this is really tragic news for all involved. May he rest in God's peace.
Absolutely, and it's a. Like you said, a loss for the community beyond just his role with government. Had known Paul for 20 years, and I'd been a guest on the show and all that, but I knew him away in private life as well. And as always, like you said, a wealth of information. You could learn a lot by sitting down for half an hour with him. So it was shocking news over the weekend, and it will be, it'll be felt through the community and at the administrative level with the city. All right, Quinn, I want to a couple things here. We'll get to Congressman Byrne here in just a little bit because he's going to be on with us today at noon for Midday Mobile. But before we do it, you're saying now, even the pro-Trump New York Post is telling the president to stop his senseless election challenge. I didn't see the headline. Tell me the story here.
Okay. Well, the New York Post has been one of the most pro-Trump outlets there is. And so when they came out with their editorial, that should really tell him something. What they said is that Trump's challenge by now is senseless. This was a front page editorial. It says, "Stop the insanity. You lost the election. Here's how to save your legacy." It calls his further challenges insanity. It doesn't mean that he doesn't have some points about some voter fraud, but he has not proved it in court. The time is up. The editorial literally calls his the lawyer that at one point was his lawyer and is still fighting on his behalf, this Sidney Powell lady, it calls her a crazy person, and said that it is shameful the kinds of things that she is now pushing and that Trump is pushing along with her. This is really strong coming from a very pro-Trump outlet.
But I could play devil's advocate and say that's just because they're trying to get themselves in standing for what's next, right? You see people bailing from the ship right and left, people that were supporters of President Trump. Some are standing with him, and we'll talk about Mo Brooks and others, but some are jumping ship.
That has nothing to do with this. They made a very strong argument about how he is hurting the conservative cause, including and especially, they said, because they really focused on this, the elections in Georgia 1 week from today. They said he is drawing attention away from it, drawing money away from those elections, and angering people, turning people, sort of moderate suburbanites yet again against the Republican Party in general by pushing challenges beyond when the Constitution says they can be pushed.
I wonder, will the modern suburbanites be their key to winning? Because I'll tell you this, that when we have, if you look at our numbers for podcast downloads, you look at our Facebook post and look at our text line and listen to our phone calls, the people like Mo Brooks that are pushing to the last moment on this, and I tell y'all academically, I've told people I don't think this works, but those posts get cheered and thumbs up and downloaded podcasts at thousands of people downloading them. There seems to be an appetite for that.
Oh, yeah, there is definitely an appetite for that. But the thought is that if Trump tells all of his followers how important this race is without doing his own election challenge, he can still encourage his people to turn out without turning away some of the people who are just sick and tired of it, who are used to presidents conceding once the Electoral College has cast its votes, which the Electoral College now has done. And look, again, the New York Post does not exactly jump ship. They don't put their finger in the wind and say, okay, how are we going to position ourselves? This is not a liberal paper like the New York Times. This is a conservative paper, and this is a paper that has its finger on the pulse of sort of the everyman voter that Trump
I disagree with that. Maybe in New York, but you compare that with my unscientific sample here, but 50,000 watt FM talk station here covering a big swath of the Northern Gulf Coast. And that's not what I hear from people. There's some people, and I don't want to say there aren't people who say, yeah, it's time to move on and all that. And I've talked about it just pragmatically, like you are, what this does to Georgia. But I look at the comments of the people, these are dyed-in-the-wool Trump supporters, and they want to fight to the bitter end on this.
Of course they want to fight to the bitter end, and that's absolutely fine. The New York Post's point is that fighting to the bitter end accomplishes nothing because it is literally impossible now for Trump to remain in office. And it says he is hurting the conservative cause. And my point in saying they've got the finger on the pulse is if they were jumping ship, like you say, that would be to say that their everyman reader is pushing them to jump ship. No, they're actually going against the grain. They're not doing something just because they've got their finger in the wind.
Quinn, hold on to that. The music is played, and we're up against a break, so we'll be right back. More with Quinn Hillier.
Talk about that, and also we'll talk about those who got
pardon,
and a little bit about the term of Bradley Byrne up in Washington, D.C., which is coming to an end now. Sean will have more on Bradley Byrne. Also, Midday Mobile, he will be a guest today here on FM Talk 106.5. A21 at FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan and Sean Sullivan in for Dalton Orwig again today as the 2020 Dad of the Year sorts out things in his household and maybe joins us later this week, maybe tomorrow. Quinn Hillier with QuinnHillier.com, also the Washington Examiner on the line right now. Let's talk about some of these Trump pardons. And you say you need to sift through it a little bit closer to to see exactly who he is benefiting here, not just the ones that grab all the headlines, right?
Well, yes, indeed. The headlines look terrible for Trump, and he deserves to look terrible for the headline ones. He's pardoning a bunch of sleazy creeps like Roger Stone, Paul Manafort, and especially really bad two congressmen, Republican congressmen, especially Duncan Hunter the Younger. His father was somebody I greatly admired, but the younger got caught just spending tens of thousands of dollars of campaign cash on you know, all sorts of luxuries for himself and his wife, and then he tried to blame his wife for it. Then it turned out he was running around on his wife, but yet tried to pawn off on her the crimes that he committed, the financial crimes. Trump had no business pardoning him. But if you look past the headlines, you'll see in the headlines all of the famous people that Trump pardons who probably don't deserve it. But any name that is not immediately recognizable as a Trump crony that gets pardoned, there's probably a good story behind it. There are some deserving people who are getting pardons already, one of whom is this Florida billionaire that I wrote about twice named James Badmazian. I talked about him, I think it was just last week on your show, and this is a guy who basically committed a victimless crime of federal tax paperwork, and has otherwise lived an exemplary life, does all sorts of charitable work. James Badmazian, he got a pardon. Nobody paid attention to it, but just like I said he would, he did. And those are the people that Trump should get credit for pardoning, and I'm saying watch the next 23 days. There'll be more of them.
Okay. Also, guest on Sean's show today is going to be Bradley Byrne, who is winding down his term in Washington, D.C., I know Sean's going to have a pretty substantial conversation with him today.
Yeah, he's, of course, been a guest since early on. He was a guest when he and this man right here, Quinn Hillier, and others were running for AL1, mm-hmm. and has been a guest ever since. So interesting perspective from you, Quinn, as somebody who was in that race and watching what the career of Bradley Byrne's been as a congressman.
Well, look, I was critical of how he acted once he started running for the Senate and some of the histrionics that he did that I didn't think he needed to do. But you look at this man's overall record in just 7 years in Congress, and it is remarkable. Bradley Byrne has done wonderful things on many fronts, both local and national. Locally, he really played the biggest role in changing the horrible red snapper and other fishing season rules that were...
Oh, they're just, better. They're not... You know, yeah, state management
exactly,
is a better part of
it. To state management. He...
Still not... We still haven't arrived, but we're trying.
Yeah, but meanwhile, mm-hmm. I mean, the season has been expanded a lot, a number of times, largely due to his efforts, and there were some trial programs that were put in due to his efforts. He also, even though it didn't come to fruition, it looked like it would, he was almost single-handedly responsible for getting the bridge, the bridge project back online until Kay Ivey killed it again with her toll plan and then taking her ball and running home. But the reason it got as close as it did was because of Bradley. Nationally, on education and on small business and labor issues, it's amazing what a guy who had only been there 3.5 terms accomplished. These scholarship programs for poor kids that were implemented, that Trump bragged about, and that now, by executive order just this week, Trump has done a similar thing as part of COVID relief. They were originally authored by Bradley Byrne. This is a great program to help poor kids be able to go to the school of their choice by using some federal scholarship money. On small business, joint employer rules. This is getting down into the weeds, but this is really important to franchise businesses that employ so many young people, that employ so many low-skilled workers, without getting into exactly how it works. What Bradley did and got passed basically saved thousands and thousands of jobs nationwide that were about to be killed by Obama-era regulations. I could go on, but the point is, he has really done a remarkable job, and I'll be sad to see him leave Congress.
Question here. If he would not have run for Senate, would he have had any issue continuing to be AL1's congressman?
Oh, no. He would have kept getting reelected as long as he wanted. I don't think he would have gone more than one more term, because I think in 2022, either for governor if Ivy doesn't run, or for Senate if Shelby doesn't run, he probably would have run then. But it would have been a much easier road for him in 2022 than it was in 2020 for all sorts of reasons. I wish he had waited another 2 years. He had some irons in the fire, things that he's working on right now that I hate to see his leadership lost on. Anyway, the point is, Southern Alabama can be proud of the job Bradley did. Again, I didn't agree with everything. I didn't agree with necessarily some of the things he did while trying to get attention for his campaign. But on substance, again and again, he came through both state issues and national issues. And he also did a great job for years before that in various roles in state government.
Quinn, in your opinion, does Bradley Byrne have a big enough statewide brand recognition, whatever you want to call it, to end up in Montgomery to win the governor's race, or what does he do in between now and then to do that?
Well, I don't know, and I don't think he has said he doesn't want to think about that now. He wants to rest, get back to spending more time with his family, figuring out what he does next. I hope his career in public service is not over. But, you know, he's lost two statewide races now, and both of them, at one point, he was considered the favorite. So he might figure that statewide his brand doesn't work. I would argue otherwise. I would argue that circumstances could be different in 2022, but that's something he'll have to think about. Either way, since the mid-1990s, he has done marvelous things serving Alabama in various roles, and I do think as he leaves office early next week, he definitely deserves our thanks.
All right, let everybody know where they can see your stuff, Quinn. A number of places, right?
Yeah, mainly though at the Washington Examiner. Just Google Quinn Hillier and Washington Examiner. I write about six or seven things a week there. Also edit there, but you can get on my newsletter at quinnhillier.com for free. Just push the subscribe button and enter your email, and you don't have to do anything else.
Quinn, as always, thanks for your time this week.
Thanks, guys.
There he is, Quinn Hillier. Kurt coming right back. We'll catch up with some national news, Dr. Bill's forecast, and then back to you. Phone lines open at 343-0106.
FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig. Hopefully back very soon. Sean Sullivan in for Dalton again today. Let's head out to McConnell Automotive, Dauphin and I-65, where we find Louie Arata, and Louie finds you some great deals. Good morning, Lou.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Doing great.
Well, 2020 is about over with. We got that employee pricing going through the end of the month, which actually goes through Monday. So we got a couple of extra days, but I was talking to Gump this morning. I mean, we are about out of inventory. I think we've got three or four trucks, Z71s. Got a couple of them coming in, but, hopefully we'll get those in. Got a few Denalis coming in, so check those out. Got some great deals on used cars. I got a 2020 Denali we just traded in. I've been driving it, and it's great. Gray color, everybody likes it. Actually went down to the beach yesterday, and a guy said, hey, I want to buy that truck. I said, yeah, it's for sale. Everything we got is for sale. So y'all can check all those out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. And if you got any questions, call Gene or I at 251-476-4141. And we're going to be here all day. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day. And we're just going to be right here in Midtown Mobile.
Hey, shout out to the body shop real quick, Lou.
That's right. Man, Gary and the girls and the guys back there, man, they'll take care of all your insurance needs. They are, they got cars back there, and we can take care of your needs. If your car's total, you can walk right up front, buy one, and not even skip a beat.
You make it sound so easy, Louie, but it is at McConnell.
That's right. It's very easy here. We kind of pride ourselves on that. And so y'all just come on by and see us in beautiful Midtown Mobile. Dolphin Street, east of I-65.
McConnell Automotive and also McConnellAutomotive.com. That's Louie Arata, 838 with Dan Brennan and Sean Sullivan.
Yeah, and by the way, let me add to that discussion we had about Congressman Byrne. He'll, of course, join us at noon today. But somebody he ran against, and it's pretty interesting. So Robert Kennedy Jr., of course, you hear Robert on with me on the Midday Show, his show Kennedy for Alabama, certain times of year on here at FM Talk 106.5. He in John Sharp's story about the congressional career of Bradley Byrne, talk about this in this chapter or in this paragraph says his town halls meeting Byrne were also routinely attended by his 2018 Democratic rival Robert Kennedy Jr. The two, while disagreeing on policy points, struck up a mutual respect for each other. Kennedy, who lost to Byrne in the general election for the congressional seat by 62-38% margin, then asked the congressman to host a town hall meeting in heavily Democratic Pritchard. Byrne obliged and hosted a well-attended town hall meeting at Pritchard City Hall last year. Kennedy's also attended a speech where Byrne gave in 2018 at the Charles White Center, which is part of the Franklin Health Clinic that was founded in 1975 and provides medical care to the underserved areas in six South Alabama counties. Goes on to say, Kennedy said one of the things that he mentioned is the role of health care clinics, what they do. He said he was impressed by the interest Byrne showed in the clinic, which has 23 locations in South Alabama. Kennedy, who is a consultant with Franklin Primary Health in the city of Pritchard, said the speech was not typical for somebody with an R next to their name. End quote. Now, Byrne earlier this year suggested Kennedy's name to a group overseen by Alabama Governor Kay Ivey on how to safely reopen the following widespread closures during the onset of the pandemic. Goes on to say here, you had to scramble, that was happening and no one knew how to get resources, and I reached out to the congressman and he was able to point me in the right direction to help those clients, said Kennedy. From a Franklin Health perspective, it's a permanent funding for them and making sure that folks within the Franklin Health got resources the same way they were going to USA Health, Providence Hospital and Infirmary Health, and from the city of Pritchard, it was making sure essential workers were getting the resources as needed. And it goes on in talking about this, Kennedy adds, he said, when he talks about understanding more fully the healthcare disparities and underlying comorbidities in the African-American community, I can understand that he would have that aha moment. Nothing sounds disingenuous. In my heart of hearts, I believe that this is the type of thing that someone with this background can continue to champion and can move the ball forward. The more people who have focused on the issue, the better it is for the African-American community. Byrne said he's unsure on, of course, what his next role is. I want to point out, in the relationship between Congressman Byrne and Robert Kennedy Jr., they also debated here in 2018 on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And showing that, you know, and my conversations with Robert, I mean, but Robert and I are friends, and then also we do radio, where Congressman Byrne and Robert, they were opponents in the race.
Sure.
But they have mutual respect for each other, and they came in and did a debate here. The way I see debates be, nobody said anything about anybody else. Nobody character assassinated. They debated. They have very different visions on issues, but they debated those, and they let the issues be, you know, what the battle of a debate was fought about the issues, not about the other person. I thought it was a great moment back in 2018, and it was because Congressman Byrne had no reason to do that.
Mm-hmm.
He had no, I mean, because normally you try to get a debate. There are many reasons, but tactically, if you look at elections, they'll not have debates or this or that. If you're way up and you're going to win this thing, why risk anything in a debate?
Right.
But Congressman Byrne agreed to that in 2018. I think it was great service to the community. Have he and Robert Kennedy Jr. on doing that debate back in 2018. So, you know, continued tips of the hat to Congressman Byrne. This one coming from a Democrat with Robert Kennedy Jr.
And I can see that, too, because both of them, Robert Kennedy Jr. and certainly Bradley Byrne, are very...
They're statesmen.
I mean, statesmen. Yeah, yeah. They're clear communicators. They know what they're saying. Their points of view or their opinions or their policies are
different. Well, you can
disagree
without impugning the other person. You can say that guy's ideas are a bunch of poppycock, but that guy's a good person.
Yeah, I've never heard Robert Kennedy Jr. Make any kind of a personal attack on your show. Anyway.
Well, he attacks me all the time, but other than that,
I can see that
to be expected.
And you can see that he really appreciated Bradley Byrne doing what he going to Pritchard, doing a town hall there.
Byrne did town halls,
not just a flyby, just like. But that's usually somebody who is very they're confident in their understanding.
Exactly.
They're confident in their
perfect
policy.
Word.
Mm-hmm.
You're confident in your beliefs,
you'll show up.
You'll show up where there's opponents there,
right.
Because that's this is a side note, but the frustration when somebody will be on here offering an idea that's contrary to somebody else's idea, and they'll be texting in, get them off the radio. No.
Mm-hmm.
Are you so frightened by that's the debate. Bible says one sword sharpens another. That is how you sharpen your opinion. You make sure you've thought about all the things in it. This idea that don't let that person talk, that's what's happening in social media. That's what Twitter does to conservative voices. Don't let them talk, which is just a backwards idea as an American. We need to have the debate. We need to have both sides. There are, I'm deep-seated in some ideas, and I will debate those to the end, but that doesn't mean that other person doesn't have a right to voice their opinion.
Yeah, and I think that Kennedy and Byrne are, in a way, a great example
mm-hmm.
of that.
No, I think that's well said.
We should applaud that, and we should applaud the dignity with which they go about their conversations, their debates, their when they're in the public forum and the way they behave. And I think that's what, for the most part, that's what we want to see. That's what we want to hear.
People want blood sport.
Now and then you want a snowball fight. I get that.
I mean, people. Here's the problem. So this is that kind of debate is the healthy food for us.
Mm-hmm.
But we all are drawn to
ice cream
and chips and all that kind of stuff.
Maybe so.
Hey,
but more examples of that are always welcomed by me.
Yeah, me too. Sign me up for that. So, but that our conversation with Congressman Byrne comes up at noon today. And of course, going forward, we'll have Congressman-elect, we'll have Jerry Carl on as he gets ready for the new Congress being seated in Washington. By the way, too, I got a text here on my phone from somebody who should know better. Not like they're always welcome to text me, but ask him, what happened to Dalton? Dalton is now dad again.
Yes.
So Big Daddy got two babies. So
he's
got a toddler
bigger.
And a baby.
Yeah.
So that's where he is. He's being dad. So.
Sweaty toddler, sweaty baby. He's got a lot going on. 8:46 at FM Talk 106.5. Back in 4 minutes. Morning from Dan Brennan and Sean Sullivan. In for Dalton Orwick today on FM Talk 106.5. Big old daddy with his two little girls now.
He is.
One named Peyton.
He is. Don't start with me. I'm just going to call her new baby. I can't.
You're boycotting the name of the child.
Well, maybe a little bit.
No,
at least it wasn't Fulmer. But
nobody's naming their baby after Fulmer.
Somewhere out there is. Little baby
that
Fulmer.
Was a misguided... they look back at that and said, why did I do that? But Peyton, Peyton's in all the commercials with Brad Paisley. He's good to go. he's there's no baggage that's ever going to be unearthed on Peyton Manning. He's a
I'm not saying he's a bad dude. It's just the team.
Yeah.
Now, Fulmer.
You did not like Tennessee when you were in school.
Right.
That was a bigger deal then because it was still a contentious.
It was pretty fresh.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's pretty fresh then.
All right, so
what do you want to incense me about now?
Well, I want to incense you about what I'm a little incensed about. I'm wondering if I should be, and it's got to do with the Brooklyn vaccine and the scandal up in Brooklyn and in New York City of this ParCare somehow going. Andy Reid ran a play the other day for the Kansas City Chiefs, where everybody in the backfield did a pirouette. It was really funny, but it was obviously a misdirection play. They wanted you to think one thing was going to happen, then something else happened.
Nutcracker was going to break out.
So what in the world? Already are we having these misdirection plays with the vaccine? Anyway, Parcare in Brooklyn, a Brooklyn-based health clinic, is being investigated. And it just frustrates the heck out of me because it didn't take long for this vaccine to possibly find some back doors and side alleys,
right.
and it ticks me off.
I mean, if you would have bet the line for will the rollout of the vaccine get screwed up, you'd have to bet, you know, 200 to 1, 500 to 1, I don't know, million to 1.
Yeah.
Of course it would.
Yes.
But how, if you had to then parlay it with exactly how they'd screw it up, I think it might have been a little tighter here on this. This is, okay, so
I've
this
read
story,
this over and over. I'm not sure okay, exactly so what they did.
Here's it. Fox News reports this. For one New York-based single mother of young children who suffers from respiratory problems, Christmas came early when she learned through word of mouth that despite conflicting information as to who was eligible to receive the coronavirus vaccine, her underlying condition meant she could be inoculated at a Brooklyn-based health clinic. Said, I was relieved and grateful, the mother and working professional who requested anonymity, blah, blah, blah. And she went on to say, I was shocked that I could get it already.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
a week ago, she filled out a brief form online and was later informed she had an appointment at Parcare Clinic in Brooklyn for Tuesday. The very same week, the Moderna vaccine was shipping its highly anticipated vaccine across the country. She said, it all seemed normal, no different than going into any other urgent care, or everything was by the book, said the woman who got the jab about a week ago, explaining the clinic took some medical insurances for the shot. Medical insurances. But not, some medical insurances. So they accepted some, but not hers, and charged her $150 out of pocket.
See, first of all, I didn't know anybody had to pay for it. I thought,
if they don't take your insurance, but what insurance is not doing that? So the doctor didn't ask me which box I checked on my form or why I qualified for the vaccine. Okay.
He didn't care.
But maybe they don't. Maybe that part of it is a red herring, because mm-hmm. maybe they once you get to administering the vaccine, why
you're in.
I mean, if you're going to be doing this for the next 8 months, do you really care what the reason is for each person?
Yeah.
I mean, just get the vaccine. So this is the part of it. They show an ad in this story they put on social media, and here's what it is. The newest healthcare revolution, COVID-19 vaccines. The FDA has authorized the renowned Parcare Community Healthcare Network a minimum number of vaccine. It's like the ad is... It's strange.
They're selling a Mustang.
Yes, that's right. I mean, it's like, what? So she goes in, she gets this. Then, like, I'm paraphrasing here for time, but she gets an email that comes, I don't know, like days later.
Conflicting.
That said, sorry you missed your appointment to get the vaccine.
And she's like, I didn't miss my appointment.
She was there.
I got it, and I need to get the second one in 28 days, and it looks like they're messing all that up.
And then a day later, New York Health Department Commissioner announced Parcare Community Health Network with five locations in Brooklyn, one in Manhattan, was under criminal investigation. So now you have this part where people have gotten one shot, and now they're shutting this down. So where do they go get the second shot?
Unreal.
And are the forms and documents that would be associated with getting your first one, I guess you got to take, I'm just guessing, here's my certificate where I got my first one, now I'm going to get the booster or the follow-up. Well, they may not have those because this place has been shut down, it's being investigated. So you can't go get the first shot again, you need the second shot.
Unbelievable.
And there's a racket here. I smell Tony Soprano in this somehow. Mm-hmm. I don't know how yet. I'll let it... But it access and fast passing, I called this months ago, even before the Dippin' Dots call.
You've been on top of a lot of stuff. You were the first to a lot of these assertions.
Yes, and the Dippin' Dots thing is, just
it's national.
Yeah, when it goes national, I don't get caught.
You were on the Today Show.
Yeah.
Or should have been.
Yeah. So there's going to be people, it's just human nature, that are going to be angling to get in line before others. Now, we have a triage list of who gets the vaccine. We just had the story this morning, one of three big things on the front page of the website. I cheer this. Veterans homes are getting the shot.
Perfect.
Okay? They're getting it. So that's a triage list. You've got frontline healthcare workers. You have people in assisted care facilities, veterans facilities. You have first responders, those kind of people. Okay, that all makes sense. There's people who can't stand it and will want to get in line. Some of them will be because they're worried about their underlying condition, and my heart goes out to those people. But some are going to be because they think they're more important than other people. Mm-hmm. The same people that cut in line in front of people that you know that won't hold a door open, won't let somebody in, that kind of personality. And they're going to be chomping a bit. The market will find a way to get those people their desire to get in line in front of others.
Yeah, and that's it's and this young
right?
lady.
So there's going to be some kind of hustle.
Yeah.
Or multiple hustles out there to get people their fast pass.
If it's a mistake, it's one thing, but if it's a hustle, it's very disappointing. We're talking about a vaccine in the middle of a pandemic that is probably going to save a bunch of lives, or at least keep people healthy when otherwise they were going to go through this bit with COVID and it was going to affect them in whatever way.
Yeah, but what about that other part too? You got the first shot.
And now what?
And now, like, maybe they don't have the, because she's getting an email that says she like missed her appointment or something.
They don't.
And then so you've gotten the first shot, but you got to get the booster. But I imagine, and healthcare folks can help me here on this, that wouldn't there be some form you'd take in and say, okay, here's my first shot form. So I'm, even if you didn't go back to the same facility, you'd have your first shot. Now I need the booster. See, here's my form.
Right.
So you don't give people too much of the vaccine or something like that.
Well, now that she's in the line, she needs to be first in line because they got to make sure that they take care of that second booster shot. She needs to be, you know, because she went in innocently enough, right?
Yeah, I don't think she was trying. She answered this ad, but
right.
The ad was like circumventing what at least they've been laying out as the policy.
Absolutely.
Imagine that. Imagine that, huh?
A week in. And they're screwing it up.
Yeah, I'm surprised it took this long.
This one has got me. All right, maybe Dalton's in tomorrow. Is that the plan?
Yeah.
And that's Jeff, your plan. You ain't coming.
That's right. Jeff Four on the way in next. Jeff Four Show coming up.
FM Talk 106.5.